Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
To rugby we are turning now. I was mentioning the Lions win this morning, and it has to be said that's come after a couple of pretty underwhelming displays in the opening weeks of their tour in New Zealand. Much improved today, beating the Crusaders 12-3. An excellent defensive performance, which was probably the highlight of it, but plenty of superb individual displays as well. We're going to be joined by the 42.e's Murray Kinsler from Christchurch in just a few minutes. Former Leicester and Munster winger Johnny Murphy has joined us in studio. We'll get into that performance in a minute, but first let's hear in some more detail from the Lions head coach Warren Gatlin speaking to Sky after the game, and first on some of the missed chances from the side this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing for us to work on. Like I said, and we've kept in, you know, it's a trialist game, we've kept in trialists, but you know, look, we created a couple of chances, got them behind them. The best Super Rugby team in New Zealand, probably the best Super Rugby, you know, everyone's talking about them being the Super Rugby champions, so, and this potentially being like a fourth test. A lot of All Blacks on display there for us. I think about eight players that finished the final test in 2013, so there's a little bit of experience there too. Look, I would have liked to have seen Anthony Watson have a go at Israel Dagg, you know, one-on-one there, because, you know, he's obviously got great footwork and speed. And then, you know, we're a bit unlucky with that one with Liam Williams has gone down the sideline with a kick. And I thought we would have a close look. I don't know. I'd like to see again that kick of Owen Farrell's, whether it actually went over, you know. So... you know, that could have put us under a little bit less pressure. But look, like I said, the most pleasing thing was the result, knowing that we feel like we're improving, but we've still got lots of things for us to get better at.
You've mentioned a few individuals there. Which of the chaps this evening are starting to ink their way into your testing?
I don't know. I thought the loose forward were good. I thought the bench coming off CJ Stander, Mauro Toje were outstanding. The front row coming off the bench were excellent. Look, we had to. It was tough for us, you know, losing, you know, two of our backs in the first half, with losing Stuart Hogg and Jonathan Davis, and having to react to that as well. So that's a sign of a team and players showing a bit of composure to be able to handle, you know, that sort of pressure and those sort of things you've got to deal with on the game. So that, you know, that was a pleasing aspect for us. We put their line out under pressure, and I think they lost their best two or three line outs. You know, that was what we spoke about, looking to do that, put them under some pressure. They started the game well again. So, yeah, look, it's a step in the right direction. And, you know, a lot of people had written us off, and there'd been a lot of criticism. But, you know, it's about... This is all about preparation for the test series, because that's what the most important thing is. And we took a step in the right direction tonight.
Johnny, he's much happier now, I suggest. He said there were a lot of positives to take from the defeat to the Blues, but I failed to see really what those positives were. But there are a huge amount this morning. And regardless of what went on in previous games, when we saw the 15 that he'd picked for today, it clearly looked like it was the strongest 15. And I guess that's how it proved. Where were the key areas, the biggest areas of improvement for you?
I think their offensive effort was massive. Their line speed, they were right on the edge of you know, the offside line, looking to get forward. And what they did in if you watch certain segments of the game, they go from the Crusaders attacking from just inside the Lions 10-meter line, and then the Lions end up getting the ball back in the Crusaders half. So they drove them back really well. I think it was actually kind of unfortunate that Davis went off so early, but it actually, we got to see you know, the Farrell, Sexton axis and work really, really well. You could see them kind of talking, organising, that kind of micro communication all the time. And especially towards the end in the second half, they worked a couple of really nice kind of out the back plays and then hands in the edge. So I thought a couple of, you know, especially defensively, but I think some individual performance. And I'd say Johnny will be delighted after tonight, because he probably didn't play, you know, he didn't play up to the standard that he expects from himself the first couple of games.
Yeah, you kind of have to feel for Jonathan Davies. Through no fault of his own, he could well have found himself out of the test team when it's named in a couple of weeks' time. But look, that's just the way injuries go and where the game goes. We'll get into those individual performances in a moment, but it's fair to say that having picked a really strong side, and you've alluded to it there, that we got to see what the 10-12 axis with Farrell and Sexton would have looked like, that he finished with a much better 15 again, with Watson at 15. No one really saw that coming. We knew he can play that position, but
We'll get your thoughts on whether or not you think he could end up in the test team after how his counter-attacking play today. Sexton, Farrell, Tao, the midfield three, and the use of Itoji and Stander off the bench.
Yeah, To be honest, I was actually quite surprised, as you said, but when Watson came on, I thought they were going to move Liam Williams in. He went straight to 15. He looked very assured there, and he made a couple of, you know, searing breaks that created a lot of havoc, I suppose, for the Crusaders. He was someone that, and it was actually, I don't think, you know, if you look at the start, there was a lot of slips, a lot of slides, a couple of drop balls. I'm sure Murray will be able to kind of tell us exactly what the conditions were like, but I'd say they were a lot harder. The ball was a lot harder to deal with than what we thought from seeing, you know, on the TV. So he had a really good game. I thought Ben Tao was very good at 13 when he moved out there. He carried very well. They moved him for certain moves instead, you know, for carrying options. He moved into 12. And then that meant that you could play off Sexton or Farrell's hands in the wider channels toward, you know, in the second or third phase. I thought CJ had a, you know, everyone was talking about CJ. You know, he had a great performance last week, and, you know, his stats were massive. Yes, they were, but I think he would probably didn't have those standout moments that Toby Faletau had the week before, where I think he gave something to the Lions off the bench today. He carried very well. He had those impact, he had those kind of standout moments where he carried two or three guys and got go forward ball. He obviously dropped that ball for after Johnny made that break, but other than that, I thought he kind of made a big impact when he came on. Itoji going in, he's going to make a difference anyway. I'd say he's probably nail on to start. It's just probably his partner's going to be there.
You think he starts in the second row, do you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I
so
think
he just drops has out, that. Wynn Jones or Cruz?
I'd play Alan Wynn Jones, and I just think there's a really nice dynamic and really nice balance to Alan Wynn and Itoji. I just think he offers something from the second row that possibly no ball carrying second row certainly in the Northern Hemisphere offers.
Do you lose something then by not having him in reserve, this sort of ball of energy that he brings when he comes onto the pitch and just seems to galvanise everybody?
Yeah, but like you can say that when you're trying to take on, you know, I think you can say that when you're trying to take on someone else and you need to finish the game strong, but I think you have to put your best 15 guys on the pitch. The quality has to start against the All Blacks, and then you try and get to a level, hold that level the whole way through. You see what Ireland did, you had the impact when they beat them, the bench gave impetus, but they started so strong, and just because of the injuries, the lads had to stand up. But Ireland played at a level and they held the level the whole way through. That's how you kind of have to beat the All Blacks. So I'd try to be, you know, I wouldn't be filling the bench. I'd be starting and going as hard as I could at the start.
So the halfback combination of Murray and Farrell just seemed to be at a different plane almost from the very start. We'll get to the introduction of Sexton and the impact he had in a moment. But when you look at Conor Murray, barely any rugby played since the Six Nations. Turns in a phenomenal display. His box kicking was on the money. The touch finder towards the end was just a little bit of magic. And he just seemed to bring the best out of his back line and out of his pack. We knew that if he could prove his fitness, he'd be the nailed-on test starter. But to come in today having played so little, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think the tempo of the game at the start and how they started was down to Connor's play and his service being very quick. I think, you know, he just adds something. His chat, his, you know, micro communication around the back of rooks and defensively, you know, he leads all those kind of things that you don't really see. His body language, you know, he was G'ing guys up. You know, it was just, I think himself and Farrell actually in the first 10 minutes just controlled the game completely. Then when Johnny came on, I felt that added something. You have three guys who are all world class on their day, and if the three of them have a good day together, it could be phenomenal. And I think that's, you know, I just like, you know, I think Webb probably gives something off the bench. I think Craig Laidlaw showed the first day that he just, you know, that pace, he just lacks that tiny bit of pace to be kind of in the test squad. But I think after the performance today, Conor is certainly, you know, and as you say, from very little rugby for the end of the season, but I was very impressed with how he played today.
So he's shown that he's already at the pitch of the tour with that performance this morning. Do you play him again?
Oh, you have to. He hasn't
really
played a whole lot.
Really? Would you start him again?
I'm not sure.
Can you see the Lions beating the All Blacks in a test series if he's not the scrum half?
I think it becomes a lot harder, but you can't wrap guys up. He has to be battle hardened as well. You know, he's only played, you know, probably, you know, semi-final and final, and then kind of bit parts after that. So I think it's important for him, and he needs to be at the pace of the game.
So he's not going to start during the week against the Highlanders.
No, I wouldn't say so.
You throw him in against the Maoris?
I think you probably have to give him, you know, I think you probably go as strong as you can against the Maoris. You have to get your combinations working. You know, if it's going to be Farrell and Sexton, if it's going to be, you know, Murray, Farrell, Sexton.
You want to see them together.
They have to play a full game together. They have to, you know, so, but then obviously there's going to be a few injuries that come into it, you know. You know, what's going to happen, you know, Dan Biggar with his HIA, with his concussion, you know, he has to get through that. Obviously, then there was two more knocks today, Jonathan Davies and Stuart Hogg. So there's kind of guys that, you know, they probably had an outline, a template of the teams they were going to pick the whole way up to next week. But now they have to be adaptable given what's going to happen with the couple of head knocks they've had.
Luke Fitzgerald was on TV this morning. He was saying that they've stumbled across this Sexton-Farrell combination. Is that fair, given that it was talked about so much in the build-up? Because we've seen it brilliantly working for England with George Ford and Owen Farrell. But Luke was maybe implying that they didn't really want to end up going down that road. That they, when Warren Gatland talked in the build-up to the tour as seeing Farrell as a 10, that he was genuine in saying that.
I think Luke is right there. I think with everything that Gatland had said in the lead-up, it was a clear fight between three 10s to who was going to start. The reality probably was going to be between Johnny and Farrell. Johnny and Farrell. But I think that was the communication. It happened today by chance. We got to see it. And hopefully, you know, I'd love to see kind of a second, you know, that kind of out and out, kind of second 5-8, as they call it, playing at 12. He just offers you so much more.
What does it do to an opponent in terms of them trying to work out what's coming next when you've got that alternative at 10 and 12, essentially two playmakers right next to each other?
It's just very hard to deal with, because you're always going to have someone that can play off. If you go out the back, he can throw long balls, he can throw short balls, you know. It just keeps them guessing, and just to have that extra playmaker there gives, you know, and if you have the likes of Ben Theo or Robbie Henshaw, you know, who's at, you know, 13, you have a really good balance to your play. You have your hit, you have your hard lines, you have your offloading game, and then you can play as well. And it just gives you options on the ball all the time. You see today, especially in the last play of the first half, when Williams went down the left-hand side, you can actually see Farrell and Sexton talking to each other. They move from the far side of the ruck, come to the blind side, they're talking. Theo comes in a short ball, goes out the back, and then they just go hands down the edge. That's created by two guys looking up, talking to each other, going, Johnny, did you see this? Did you see that? Yeah, let's go. So it's that communication.
Is that happening? Are they just playing the situation as they see it? Is that taking a particular passage of play in its merits? Or despite what Gatland was saying about seeing just three 10s, that maybe in the training and sessions that Farrell and Sexton have been repping together at 10 and 12?
Well, I think you're probably, during the week, you know, you're going to, if someone's going to say, okay, well, what's going to happen if, you know, Jonathan Davies goes off? Well, you're going to go to 12, so get two or three reps in there. So that would happen, but that's not, you always know who's covering who when you're on the bench. You know, like Johnny will know that he's covering for 10-12, so he goes on.
But more so, you're saying it's two creative, intelligent guys seeing what's happening in front of them.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it is kind of, it's two 10s doing what they do, and they're bouncing off each other. You know, and, you know, I'd say both of them are ultra competitive. They both realise they have to play, but to play well with each other gives them both a better chance of starting in the team, you know. And I think that's, you know, and they're so competitive, they're going to drive each other even harder. They're going to drive the group, you know. I just think it's a really good call.
We talked about the kicks from Conor Murray, and we talked about what Sexton and Farrell can bring to the game, and they're three incredibly talented kickers of the ball. But attacking wise, the stats show that the Lions were better than their opponents this morning. Supposedly one of the great try-scoring sides in world rugby, in the Crusaders. They had more clean breaks, 9-3. They had the same number of offloads. They had the same number of defenders beaten. And this performance this morning from the Lions was an awful lot more than just a dominant pack performance. That there was far more being offered out behind the pack.
Yeah, it was. And it was those, you know, 4-on-3, 3-on-2s. Last, you know, the game during the week, they had a 4-on-3. They didn't fix their men, and then they get bundled into touch, where today they executed those 4-on-3s, 3s-on-2s. They got down the line. It was actually their last pass. Ben Theo went through a hole. They need a bad pass out to Liam Williams. It's though Johnny Sexton made another break, passed back inside to CJ dropped it. So it was just that final pass that stopped them. And that's probably, you know, a combination thing. It's getting to know each other. It's just, you know, sharpening those, that final path. They'll grow now the whole way through, but they needed that performance. If they didn't put in a performance today, there was going to be serious doubts in what, you know, the squad was going to be capable of. And no matter what, that would seep through the whole, the, you know, it would seep through the whole squad and their whole mental state as well.
Okay, we can get the mood on the ground in Christchurch now. Murray Kinsella of the42.ie is on the line. Murray, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
Yeah, great. Listen, it's just put a completely different complexion on the tour, hasn't it? There's a real feeling that the tour is finally up and running now, and maybe the Lions are finally starting to pose some questions to the New Zealand supporters, the New Zealand media, and the All Blacks themselves that we weren't quite sure we were going to see on the back of the displays in the first two games. How much of a shift can you sense in the hours after the full-time whistle this morning in comparison to the feeling over the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, absolutely massive shift in the whole outlook, I think, from the players' point of view. And even from Warren Gatland, he said, you know, it was a question about the back row, and he turned the conversation to the fact that the Lions have been under quite heavy criticism in New Zealand after two games. And he looks pretty, not smug, but he looks pretty happy to have kind of flipped the whole thing on its back. And now people are talking about how good this Lions team potentially will be if they start taking those chances that you've just spoken about there. Coach Conor Murray afterwards, he's really upbeat about it all now. And he said the feeling in the dressing room is that, yeah, it's really underway now, that the Lions have shown what they can do. They fully appreciate the fact that there's massive improvement to make in 2 weeks. I think they're fully appreciative of the fact that beating the All Blacks is still an unbelievable challenge, and they're outsiders for that. But yeah, it's up and running, and there's definitely a really positive vibe on the ground here now.
There was some raised eyebrows, Murray, when Warren Gatland said, I'm not quite sure whether it was before or after the Auckland Blues game, that he didn't think there'd be an awful lot of a difference between the quality the Super Rugby sides would bring to the games against the Lions in comparison to with that of the All Blacks. And I mean, it seemed like a peculiar thing to say, but now having seen up close and personal yourself the Blues and the Crusaders, and potentially the Crusaders' front five, the tight five, could start if they have to make a change at hooker in this first test, then how much of a step will the All Blacks be in comparison to what we've seen over the last week and a half?
I think it's going to be a massive step up personally. I think Warren Gatland's comments were trying to just take a bit of negativity away after that Auckland Blues game. And Steve Hansen basically rubbished those comments. And Steve Hansen has been happy to have a few jibes at Warren Gatland already. And I suppose for me on the ground here, that's an interesting part of it. But I think Gatland will take some of that stuff quite personally. But yeah, you saw Tadhg Furlong take two kind of All Blacks loose heads and beat them both at scrum time. You saw the Lions' defence smother the best Kiwi attack this year. It's been incredible for the Crusaders. They've scored tries freely, but Andy Farrell's defence was exceptional in that game. And I think the Lions, or the All Blacks rather, will be a lot better at dealing with that and potentially bringing in a bit of a kicking game. I didn't think the Crusaders use the boot very intelligently, and certainly the All Blacks will do that to relieve some of the pressure. So I think for me, Warren Gatland's comments were fairly inaccurate in that sense.
Murray, they're kind of, well, from my perspective, I kind of felt that there was a bit of a body language shift today in terms of how they were set, you know, especially defensively getting off the line. Was that even clearer to see live on the ground over there?
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. It's been really interesting to watch. Get out early, watch the warm-up, watch the interaction between the players. And the guys who are standing out are the guys who are on the pitch today. Owen Farrell, just an exceptional leader in this squad. You know, he's running all the time. He's having words in people's ears. Even when he comes out on the pitch to warm up, he's big. His chest is out. He's taking long strides. He's energetic. He's bouncing. Guys like Peter Mahoney as well, just off the ball today. The number of times he went over and had chats with people, rallying the troops, I suppose, getting in people's faces. He didn't shirk that kind of bout of handbags when the Crusader scrum went right over the Lions front row and they kind of rubbed in their faces. Peter O'Mahony was in there, Sean O'Brien was in there. So I think that energy you're seeing is coming from those individuals, and that team there that we saw today is a lot closer to what the test side is going to be. So yeah, that's a really good point from you, Johnny. Yeah.
Murray, the discipline today was vastly superior to that against the Blues. I think the penalty count was 13 during the week. It was down to 7 today. But three of the penalties that went against the Crusaders came at scrum time. And there's a question of the interpretation of the front rows and the scrum from a European referee in comparison to a Southern Hemisphere referee. We had a Frenchman in charge today. He certainly raised the hackles of the Crusaders fans and the Crusaders front row. They looked bemused at times. Whitelock at times didn't really appear to know what was going on and why they were being pinged. And when you take into account that Gozer is going to be in charge of the second test and Robin Poit is in charge of the third test, but a South African is going to be running the first test, how much of a grey area is there when it comes to trying to predict how the front rows are going to go, depending on who's actually got the whistle?
Yeah, like a massive amount of analysis goes into that, but I thought it was really interesting that you're absolutely right, the Crusaders came out and they were pretty open about the fact that they weren't happy with the refereeing. They were complaining about a few little things like that. Even they were gripes about the style of play from the Lions, and they were talking about, you know, this isn't Super Rugby, this isn't how we play, we don't like that kind of washing machine effect of kick after kick after kick up and down the pitch. But like, for me, that's a positive for the Lions. You're already rattling them. They don't like having that momentum go against them, and I think scrummaging wise that's going to be a key kind of battle in getting into the heads of the All Blacks. The set piece was always going to be massive for the Lions, and that scrum has been really impressive in the last two games. The maul has been really good. The line out there today with George Cruz calling, I thought it was good. And with Peter O'Mahony defending in the line out as well, you're getting a lot of pressure on. So I thought that was always going to be a big area in these test games. And I think it's great to see the fact that the Kiwis didn't like what the Lions threw at them. They didn't like the way it was interpreted, because for me, it was a dominant line scrum.
If you take maybe as read that Toby Faletau is going to start at number 8 because he's pretty much hasn't put a foot wrong since he pulled on the shirt for the first time on this tour, that you're looking at two slots in the back row. How far have Peter O'Mahony and Sean O'Brien pushed their credentials after their performances today? Sean O'Brien getting about 50-55 minutes and showing that he's fully fit and good to go.
Yeah, they've done a world of good for themselves. Warren Gatland said that was actually probably more than they expected from Sean O'Brien, who hasn't played since the start of April, we should remember. He looked in absolutely brilliant condition, I thought. The way he tracked back on Richie Moonga that time when Conor Murray's pass went awry.
That was acceleration that we thought that he didn't have anymore.
When's the last time we saw that? It's been years. And it's we'll
have seen it a couple of times in the last year, but the hamstring is usually done by the end of it.
Yeah, that's it. But he looks really good. There's a nice balance between the mass on his body and the kind of mobility. And I think he's in really good peak condition. He's had those couple of months to get fit, kind of like Conor Murray as well. The two of them look in really good nick. But I thought he was, you know, we know he's a big game player. We saw it in Dublin against the All Blacks when he hadn't played a lot of rugby. He came back and delivered this immense performance. So I think it's really interesting for him, especially with Sam Warburton having had that ankle issue. Now, Warren Gatland does say that Warburton could actually play on Tuesday, so it's probably not as serious as we had thought. But I think Sean O'Brien's really put it in the coach's minds that here's a big unit that can do all the things Sam Warburton does and maybe a bit extra. And then for Pete, yeah, we've mentioned there, Peter O'Mahony, we've mentioned the leadership, but the line-out stuff. And there were also some really clever passes. I think on one of the Ben Tao breaks, there was a lovely little transfer from Peter O'Mahony. And in that attacking shape, they're playing that kind of 1-3-3-1 where they need two of the back row forwards to hang in those 15-metre channels. And Peter O'Mahony is doing that. He's one of the guys wide in the 15-metre channel, and you're seeing that skill set that maybe with Munster and with Ireland we haven't really got a chance to see from him. So I think he's going to actually enjoy that, and I think they've done a really big, massive boost for themselves in terms of that back row battle, which is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I think there's a surprise to come in the back row somewhere along the line. Just, you know, I think you kind of the forgot, you know, some that wasn't mentioned at all, but who probably came out of the midweek fixture this week is James Haskell. He was probably the only one that actually had his standout moments. He was very good around the pitch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's going to be a really interesting call to see but then probably that bench spot is where that surprise might come from in terms of, you know, what do they do with, you know, with Itoje's versatility, the six, you know, six,
is
eight.
Warburton an automatic for you? He's the tour captain, but Warren Gatland has been at pains to say in the build-up
for
to
me,
the captaincy
no, I don't,
announcement.
For me, no, I actually wouldn't pick him in my back row, but I'm not the coach. But yeah, like, he has to be. Reality says, common sense says, he's captain. If he's fit, he plays. You know, surely that's you know, that's just common sense. But quality wise, you know, and probably you just have to kind of get the balance correct of what you're going to go for. Are you going to go for, you know, a kind of groundhog out and out seven? Then it is a toss up between him and Tuprik. If you're going to go for a real powerful back row, then you can, and a ball carrying back row, you probably look at maybe the back row that, you know, probably started today, but possibly just with CJ at six, just because it's all powerfing, all ball carrying. So it's just what dynamic they're going to go for. You don't know.
Murray, before we
Johnny,
No, go ahead.
I'd love to just ask Johnny's opinion on the back three at the moment. For me, Anthony Watson showed really nice pace and kind of that scintillating line break, but I don't think the back three have really stood out in the game so far. Even George North and Liam Williams didn't really grab their opportunities. I just wanted to ask Johnny where he thinks that's going to go.
Yeah, I think that's something that they probably thought that they were quite strong, an area they were quite strong in. But I don't think, you know, I think Bartley Halfpenny's kicking ability during the week, you know, I think Stuart Hogg, he was obviously very unlucky today, but I felt he was pretty poor. Anthony Watson, for me, he did probably the best eight of the three. There could be another surprise there and possibility of Jared Payne going, might maybe getting a run at 15.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there is, of all the units, I think that one is probably completely up in the air. And no one has grabbed a spot yet. So I think it's going to be interesting for me if you might see something in the next 2 weeks if Jared Payne, in the next two games, if he comes through, then if he gets a shot at 15, then that might be because they're like that. They might be looking at him to start there in one of the tests because he's so assured. He knows New Zealand rugby. So it'll be interesting to see what they kind of do with him.
Okay, Murray, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. I know it's very late in New Zealand at this stage, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, lad.
Cheers, thanks, Murray.
It's Murray Kinsella of the42.ie. Johnny, it's fascinating now, and I feel we could talk Lions for another hour, but there is an international taking place today. It's at 10 o'clock tonight when the Irish touring squad are taking on the United States. I think Josh Schmidt's missing over 11 of his frontline players for various reasons, but the Lions mainly the reason for it. So a chance for some of the new faces to impress, the likes of Jacob Stockdale, who makes his debut, Dave Heffernan and Rory Scannell. What's Joe Schmidt looking to achieve from tonight's game?
I think he's probably trying to develop a squad now that can kind of push forward for the next 2 years. I think it was very clear on all the conversations, which is unlike Joe, when he selected, he said we were going to give young guys very clear, you know, trying to develop the greater squad with a view to, you know, 2019. That's unusual for Joe. You know, Joe is very much, you know, he picks a team that he thinks is going to win every weekend, where this is a development side. It's even on the coaching staff, they've done that, obviously, with Rog, Felix, Gervin all being out there. So it's a very much a development tour across all levels. I think there's going to be a huge amount of excitement out there, because of the guys making their debut who haven't been on tours before. And it's about winning, but developing the guys and giving them an introduction into what Joe Schmidt coaches over the next 2 years. So these guys, if they're on the periphery of the squad, they can slot straight in and they know what's going on.
Okay, great stuff, Johnny Murphy. Thanks a million for coming in. Appreciate it.
Cheers, thank you.
So that's the Lions as of now. Next up, Otago, and then they take on the Maoris next weekend. Coming up, we're going to have the next episode of our Off the Ball Reflections.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.